The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
Settles in your soul.
Soul.
It does.
Yes, sir.
Good morning, everyone. This is Jefferson State of Mind. I'm Terry Raposo with Wynn Carpenter and our producer, Ashley. How are you, my dear?
Doing pretty well. How about yourself?
Doing well. We're broadcasting live from KCNR on Nick 96.5 FM, where the music sounds better, and 1460 AM. You can stream us live on KCNR1460.com, and we are archived forever. And ever, and ever, and ever. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Yes.
I got it.
Are you with me here, Wynn?
I'm with you.
I could start singing the bass part. That
it's okay.
I assume that's the only part I know.
We went to a fundraiser.
I'll just hold my lighter up.
We went to a fundraiser last night, and my wife said I had a really good time. So.
You did.
I did?
Yeah.
Yeah. You stole my dessert.
I did not.
You did too.
You stole
the chocolate cake that I spent like $50 on.
I didn't steal it.
You took it to the next table. I had to retrieve it. And then you bit on the lemon meringue pie, which is what I really wanted, and you got it ahead of me. Well, what's the deal there, buddy? Huh?
Well, snooze you lose.
Anyway, we've got a lot for this first half hour. The second half hour, we have Liz Walker. And that's going to be quite good. But we do have Bob on from California Integrity Project. And Bob, can you give us a couple of minutes here and let us know what you're doing and what people need to look for?
Sure can, Terry. Thank you very much for having me on real quick. Election Integrity is a series of volunteers. There's been over 13,000 volunteers trained to do election observations and documenting any issues having to do with voter rights and voter integrity. And they've been doing that for 11 years, and we've been in Shasta County now that I know of for the last, this will be the fifth election we've done observations on and documented things. I'm on this morning specifically to mention we're in the middle of a recall of District 2 Supervisor Leonard Modi right now, as everybody knows, and especially in District 2. And in the upcoming primary elections and this fall's elections and elections forward until we can find a new legislature that fixes our election laws. The challenge is these vote-by-mail ballots that are coming out to every, quote, registered voter in Shasta County. In this case, for the recall election for District 2, it only goes to District 2 and District 2 only. But this applies to all citizens. If you vote by mail, please consider taking your ballot to the precinct poll on Election Day or to the registrar's office down on Market Street and vote your ballot in person, in the voting machine. And the reason I say that is, if you put it into the drop box at the grocery store or the library or city hall, you're turning that ballot over to someone's people that you don't know. Same thing if you put it in the mailbox with the stamp on the envelope and it disappears. Have you ever seen a box that's been crushed or an envelope that's been folded?
Yeah.
If you do that with an envelope that has your ballot in it, guess what? Somebody down the registrar's office is going to have the opportunity to duplicate your ballot because it won't go through the voting machine if it's soiled, if it's tore, if it's folded. So I'm asking everyone to think about this and make your own decision. But if you're interested in voter integrity and making sure your vote counts, please put it in the voting machine. Downtown, they'll spend 10 to 15 people to do the ballot processing, and then it goes through what they call a tabulator that counts the ballot as well. It's running on Dominion software, just like the voting machines in the precincts are, and there's nothing we can do about it. It's something that our Board of Supervisors has decided that's the machine that we want, and they're not going to talk about it anymore in the chambers, according to a resolution they made here a few months back.
Hey, well, hey, Bob, along with that, when you're talking about turning over your ballot, the clerk at the store where the box is located, the manager of the store and the owner of the store are not responsible for your ballot being secure in that box at the front of the store. That's not their job. They didn't take an oath to protect that. They have no responsibility for that. That comes back to the Registrar of Voters office, and that comes back to you as a sovereign citizen making sure that you're doing exactly what you just said. So I would discourage everybody from using those and go to...
You don't want to use them.
Yeah, don't use them at all, because how do you know what happens to your ballot, and you can't even track your darn ballot anymore because there's no identifying number on your ballot that says you are the one that cast that ballot. They have eliminated that.
Yes, they have, and I'm going to be on Sovereign Minds here at 11. We're going to talk more in depth about that, including Election Integrity Project lawsuit. And it's amazing when you read that, there's probably 18 pages of line by line by line, and we're not suing because of lost contests. In 2020, we're suing over what California has done to our registered voters for the last 30 years.
Yes.
With the laws they've passed and the executive orders and the emergency orders they've thrown out there that have slowly but surely taken away our voter integrity rights.
Well, and it's one of our most sacred parts of being a sovereign citizen, being doing our civic duty, is casting a ballot, casting our vote. And then if somebody else is going to come along and steal it or throw it away or, you know, manipulate it to their liking versus what we actually cast, that's wrong on every level. So we need to protect that. We as the sovereign citizens need to protect that.
Amen to that. Yep. Well, thank you both very much. God bless you, and have a great morning, and we'll talk to you soon. Okay?
And we'll be listening at 11. Hopefully we could talk a little bit about some of the the people, Kathy Darling Allen, the people that actually run that particular area of our government, and they are an elected official.
Who is coming up for election.
Coming up for election, and there's a lot of skepticism, and I'm not going to put you on the spot there, buddy, for anything like that, but point is I
appreciate
think that. What's that?
He said he appreciates
that. Oh, yeah.
I appreciate that.
Of course. And you know, your job is to make sure that things are done right.
And what you're doing is awesome. Thank
and
you, Bob.
You can
everything.
Leave the, we'll go ahead and we'll take a look at her. Anyway, thank you, my friend. Bless you and talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you, guys. Have a good day.
You too. Yeah. Bye-bye.
You know, apparently Leonard Modi is going to be on Carl Bott's show. I think it's tomorrow morning. Do you know, Ashley, if he's on?
Yes, I did not see if he was taking questions. When you were calling in earlier, I looked it up, and all I saw that he was going to be on discussing events.
Oh, okay, and what time is he going to be on Carl Bott's show on Free Fire Radio?
I'm going to guess 8 o'clock, but he did not mention it in the post that he made.
Okay, because I texted Carl this morning, and I know he got it because it said delivered. And I asked that also if Leonard Modi was going to take questions, because I know when David Keogh came on years ago, he wouldn't take questions from his constituents. And we have a policy, at least in our show, and I know same with Sovereign Minds and probably just about everybody else, that if we have a candidate on or someone who's an elected official, mm-hmm. how is it they get a pass on getting questions?
You don't.
Yeah, you know, and
that right goes out the window once you've taken the oath that you're supposed to defend for that office.
Right. So, you know, I'm not really sure, you know, I mean, having somebody on to gain ratings is one thing. Having somebody on to where they can be accountable is another thing. And having somebody on who's an elected official has to be accountable. And it's about answering the questions of the public and the people that they serve.
Absolutely.
Now, there's a few questions that I would ask. And I'm sure Wynn has some questions he would ask of Leonard Modi. And I'm going to read a couple of mine, if I may.
I'm keeping mine in my quiver. I'm not going to let mine out.
I'm going to ask mine right now, because I don't know if they'll be asked.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, okay. And by the way, if anybody has a question or a comment here at 605-4567, 530-605-4567. My first question is, when the grand jury found that Leonard Modi had gone behind the car fire lines for his own personal gain, using law enforcement, using first responders to go back there, and sometimes twice a day to gas up the generator so his home would be okay. In fact, at one particular point, he was driven there and got some expensive bottles of wine out of his neighbor's house. Now, in doing that, That is called malfeasance. When you do something, you're breaking the law. If it were anyone else who managed to coerce a deputy, or worse yet, a higher up in the deputy department who now has another official capacity with the county, and have them drive them back for their own personal gain, breaking the exact law that was set up, and then, I mean, I know that Magrini said the one thing he regretted was going back there and getting the bottles of wine. Can you believe that? The question is, malfeasance, how did he get lowered to a misfeasance? Was that the DA? That'd be the first question. How did he get lowered to a misfeasance? Second question I'd have would be, how come he helped Nathan Pinckney, using his position as a sitting supervisor, how come he used that to help Nathan Pinckney get a temporary restraining order against Carlos Zapata? The third thing is that did you, Mr. Modi, ask the DA to investigate Alyssa McEwen and Ronnie Lund by sending out your overworked, underpaid DA investigators to go to those two law-abiding ladies' homes, one being, as a matter of fact, a home, Alyssa McEwen, where there were kids there, and her husband is a highway patrolman and someone who's very highly thought of. Also, the other question I have is, did he, meaning Modi, Joe, Mary, meet with Cruz on last week's meeting to set up some have a pre-meeting about what was going to happen as far as dropping back public comment? Also, in about skipping over Les Baugh and having Modi, who's under recall, to in the process of being recalled, 6,000 people wanted him recalled. And again, Kathy Darling Allen, how come only 4,000 were, or 4,400 or something, were approved? So, you know, did they have this private meeting, the three of them, which is a quorum, which equivocates to a Brown Act violation? And did Modi have anything to do with the DA spending thousands and thousands of dollars on the Zapata trial? Maybe we need to ask the DA some questions. Like, Miss Bridget, do you own an antique fire truck? Do you own an antique fire truck? So those are some of the questions I would ask. I mean, you know, maybe Carl could frame those in a way that they aren't, if those sound like they're being harsh, maybe he could frame them. Unless he's going to allow people to call in. We have Richard on the line. What say you, sir?
Hello, everybody. Few things as usual. I'll go quickly. There are fraudulent ballots have been mailed out for Modi's recall. I personally handled one last week. I saw it. I took pictures of it. There's an address that a recall Modi ballot was mailed to. And this address is not in the previous nor the current District 2 lines. Yes, you heard me right. This ballot should never have been mailed to that address. So some local authorities and some of the candidates running against Modi have been notified and given the pictures of these ballots. So we'll see. Everybody, please pay attention. If anything happens similar to that, please contact Richard at SCCJ. Chef County Citizen Journalist, please contact me, because if we have to go to a manual recount, if we the people lose this recall due to fraud, we need every piece of evidence we can to justify a manual recount. Second thing is I have a 22-point Records Act into Kathy Darling Allen's office for this 47-day window election period for the recall. 22 statistical points times 47 days. I'm asking her for a daily report. And these are statistics that her office gathers anyways. And so I hope she or Cruz or Natalie do not try to play any funny games with my Records Act request, because I'm not placing any undue burden on Kathy's office. These are statistics she gathers anyways. So we'll see what happens with that.
You know that Bob Holsinger is going to be on Sovereign Minds at 11 o'clock, Richard. Everything you just said probably should be repeated there, because that's all within his wheelhouse and what he's going to be talking
about. Yes, sir. We, Bob and I met, and he helped me with that very Records Act request. So
outstanding.
That's why it's a very thorough Records Act request. And when Kathy Darling Allen, they already have it, so they're processing it. And she knows, when she reads that list, she knows that we're going to get so many statistics. And the reason is we need to be able to extrapolate fraud, et cetera, from those statistics. So that's the reason for it. She probably has never received such a Records Act request in her 17 years. So, yeah, they're probably having several conference calls on that matter.
Well, I saw that, the ballot that you were talking about, at the meeting last week, and that's surprising. Plus, which the same person who received that, apparently their son who lives out of state received their ballot out of state. So that's very interesting. It's like, how does that work? If this person no longer lives in the state of California, let alone the county of Shasta, receiving a ballot to their current address to vote in Shasta County. How does that work?
All right. I'll follow up on that, because my understanding of the law is only military personnel who are out of state should be the only ones being able to receive or send in ballots. So that's my understanding, unless there's some other loopholes, but I'm not aware of any of those.
Well, that's my understanding as well, and that's why I mention it. It's very interesting to see how
the
game is being played.
Well, thank you, guys.
Okay, thank
you,
Rich.
Have a good day.
You too.
I just got a text back from Carl Bott. He said no, he's not going to take questions. So there you have your answer. To me, I just, you know, my guests are out there shaking their heads. anyway, to me, I mean, okay, that's fine, except the fact that, and it's fine. I mean, you know, if it's your party, it's your party. You know, if it's your ball. The point is that when we have elected officials that come on, why can't the constituents of that elected official ask a question? We will never do that on any of our shows or any of our podcasts. We will never do that.
Nope.
And I can say the same thing for Sovereign Minds. I can say the same thing for Patriot State of Mind. I can say the same thing for Poke the Hornet's Nest. And I can say the same thing for Liberty Unabashed. None of us will ever have a situation where we will not allow questions, especially of people that are running for office and people who are in office. The other thing I think that I would want to ask Modi is there any particular reason why, let's phrase it this way. Did Leonard Modi suggest to Pontes that Eric Magrini, after he had resigned from the sheriff's office because of a vote of no confidence by his peers and the Deputy Sheriff Association, did he ask Pontes, or was this created with his help in putting Magrini into a new position that now costs the taxpayers a couple hundred thousand dollars a year, not including retirement.
Well, and benefits and everything
else. And benefits and stuff. Was he involved in that? So,
and well, and two, it happened before he vacated his sheriff's position. You know that. That was a done deal, because he transitioned from being sheriff to the deputy CAO or assistant CAO, however they label it. But yeah, that, you know, that happened. I mean, how did all this take place or go down if it didn't happen while he was still in office, so to speak? Very interesting.
Yeah, well, you know, there's a lot of questions that could be asked. I mean, again, they
absolutely
can be framed in a way. But, you know, the whole thing is that I think that everybody probably, you know, and this other thing about, you know, the blame being put on people.
Mm-hmm.
Nick Gardner played a clip from Free Fire Radio.
Yeah.
And it was about a gentleman that won the Hattie Duty Award. I don't know. Apparently, the host of the program agreed that it sounded like that if you didn't get the jab, which you can never take back, that part of this spread is your problem. However, I would submit to you that if you're watching anything on the NFL, every team has four or five of these guys that can't play each week who've had The first jab, the second jab, third jab, the fourth jab, all kinds of jabs. So my point is that why in the heck is it that it's someone's fault who didn't get the jab, who didn't get COVID, or maybe got COVID and got over it, so they have the antibodies? Why is it their fault? And why is it, why would things be better if you got the jab when you still get it? And oh, by the way, there's other variances. I think a lot of times people who take that position are justifying their own decision making.
Mm-hmm.
If they made a decision to do something one way or another, they're just justifying their own position.
So they can feel good about what they did.
And again, you know, we have had two of the candidates on. We'll have more on. We'd love to have Mr. Modi on.
Yeah.
And we would be very respectful to Mr. Modi. The
door is always open.
The door is always open. But we would allow people to call in and ask a question. And we would allow people who are out there. Otherwise, what's the point of listening?
Right.
I mean, that's the way we feel about it in our program. And, of course, it's a free country. Anybody can do whatever they want to do in theirs.
Yep.
So, you know, I think that we're going to go to the break a little bit early. Ashley, the reason we are is we have our guests here. So I want to go out there and prep them just for a minute. And then we will get rolling here. So time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
Amen.
FM, AM 1460, and online at KCNR1460.com. Join Sue McClain weekday mornings from 6 to 7 for the Sue McClain News Hour, where you'll hear the up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bach. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, equal opportunity critics. From noon to 3, learn how to get out of debt with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday night, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal, local history, North State Now, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune in to Ben Shapiro, your local downtown radio station, KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at KCNR1460.com.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
I expected it to be a lot easier.
I didn't know what step to take next.
I was transitioning from the military. I was a vehicle gunner.
An avionics specialist.
I missed my unit, my family.
Playing with my daughter, I'd felt like a stranger.
I didn't have a clear sense of what to do next.
And then I thought, if I'm going through this, other veterans have gone through it too, right? So I reached out. And I saw that I wasn't alone.
Go to MakeTheConnection.net to learn how other veterans have overcome the challenges of transitioning out of the military.
I will not comply. Quit trying to take me to task, because I don't want to wear a mask or take a vaccine that could maybe make me die. They got no scientific evidence to back that crap up. All they do is feed us lies a lot. That's why I will not comply.
I like that one.
I like that song, too.
That's got a good little beat,
was that you, Ashley, or was that Sally?
That was Sally.
Good song, babe. Really good. We're here with Liz and Miriam Walker. How are you two doing?
Good.
Good.
Good morning, ladies.
Good. Liz, tell us a little something about yourself. Who is Liz Walker? And then we'll get right into it.
Okay. I'm a private tutor and personal assistant and politically active, I guess you could say, especially this last year. It's been quite an adventure. I've been going to the Board of Supervisors for at least a year and been speaking for almost a year.
Yeah. Now, what was the thing? What triggered you to actually, you know, step up and do this? That's not an easy thing to do, to step right into something. And if I may say, you've done it with conviction and you've done a marvelous job. What is it that inspired you?
Well, actually, I think David Barton really pushed me in that direction because he says, you need, as a citizen, you need to step up. And I'm thinking, oh, that's not me. But it, you know, it just kept convicting me over and over and over. I'm like, yeah, I just got to get up there and do it. But I wasn't very comfortable doing it impromptu. So I decided, okay, I'm going to just write it out ahead of time and do it. So that's what I did. And that's what I continue to do.
You know, you've made some great statements. There were two you did at last Tuesday's meeting. The first one was during public comment, which Modi shortened to 45 minutes. That's a whole other subject that we'll talk about here in a bit. You know, we would probably ask him that question, too.
Yeah, why that?
Oh, gee, there's another question, but I guess we can't do that. Anyway, Liz, so if you'd like to, please read your first statement, and then we'll chit-chat about that.
Sure. Last year, there were 29 regular meetings. This year, there are only 25 meetings scheduled. That means four meetings, or a month of meetings, have been dropped. In 2017, there were 34 regular meetings. So in a five-year period, nine meetings have been dropped. That's over 2 months of meetings. Let's go back even further. In the year 2000, there were 49 meetings. That means the board met every week, with 3 weeks off for vacation. In the last 22 years, the number of board meetings has dropped by half. This year, this board will meet for less than half a year, with 27 weeks off. That's a lot of vacation time. That's the equivalent of almost 7 months of not meeting with the public. This is supposed to be a full-time job? How does that work? The supervisors are to be representatives of their constituents. It's your job to be approachable, accessible, and attentive to your electorate, not to hide from them. Slashing the number of meetings doesn't give the board sufficient time to adequately analyze the agenda items. Your job is to run interference when agenda items come down the pike that would not be good for the people of Shasta County. But how can you do that when there are a multitude of items on the agenda, some of which are lengthy and require research, and only 3 to 4 days to look into them before you vote? By having meetings weekly, the board would have fewer agenda items to consider each week, time to thoroughly investigate each of those items, and more opportunities to listen to the public. Another plus is that your meetings would end up being shorter. The way it is now, there is no way any of you can adequately review all the agenda items, which means these items are being rubber-stamped. Congress does the same tactic in order to hide things. The items are so in-depth, they have to pass them to know what's in them, except they never know what's in them because they never take the time to go back and read them. In regards to the job of the supervisors, A. Leverkahn from Adult Practical Insights states, quote, local residents often attend public meetings of the BOS to make sure business is being done properly and with the interests of the community in mind, end quote. You are public servants. You can't serve the public and look out for their best interests by ramrodding agenda items through. Instead, spread things out over more meetings. Also, give more people the opportunity to be heard, not only with more meeting dates, but with frequent 6 p.m. meetings. Since this is a full-time job, we, your boss, expect you to work full-time on our behalf. But if you're only going to work half a year, your salary should be cut in half as well. Be the full-time servants that we hired you to be.
Good.
Wow.
Grief.
Well said.
Well targeted. Over the target, and you drop the... That's a mic drop, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, that was great. You know, you mentioned a couple of things. One is that they're working half the time for half pay. Now, Modi's response was that it's more efficient use of staff.
Mm-hmm.
Really? Okay. Well, staff's going to get paid for doing something. You know, they're going to be at work doing something. So that's kind of a BS answer.
Well, staff is salaried.
Well, yes, and they're salaried. That's exactly right. So you know, and the other thing, too, is that the great point you made is the fact that why are they being paid full-time pay as opposed to working half the time? That's one. I want you to think about that one. The second one is, and just so you know, Mary Rickert made the statement that, you know, I belong to 11 other boards. Mary, you always belonged to those boards, even before you were a supervisor. So you were doing that anyway. That, frankly, has nothing to do with your supervisor capacity. Has nothing to do with it. You're just doing what you was doing. Anyway, what say you?
Yeah, she commented afterwards that, you know, oh, I have all these things. We do a lot of things. We're out and doing all this stuff. Well, and then we don't have time to come to basically meet with our boss, is what she's saying. That you know, and then Modi says we need to get on with the business of the meeting. Well, the public is your business, so
the business of the people is your job.
Yes,
yes. Well, and that's when I went up and spoke to them exactly about this with the calendar, and I didn't go up there being confrontational or anything like that. I just wanted to see what they had to say, and what they said is exactly what you were countering right there. It's like, okay, I asked them. I said, so you're going to work less than half the time? Oh no, we're not. And I said, yeah, you are. And so I let it linger there a little bit. And same, a lot of the stuff that you were saying there is the dialogue that I had with them. It was crazy. I couldn't believe that, you know, they're willing to work half the year and to do half the work of the people, and they're sitting up there thinking that that's perfectly fine. It's absolutely acceptable. It's the way we do business. No, 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 no. That's not how we do business.
Yeah, and Mary complains she lives so far away, but this is her second term. And if she knew going into this how far she lived
yes.
away from there.
Yes.
And then she ran a second time.
But she also has a home in Palisadro. She also has a home down off of Dersh Road. So her stories don't add up. They never add up. And so, you know, she's a multimillionaire. She has access to lots of money. So she has lots of properties throughout different areas. But Shasta County is for sure minimum that we know three or four. And one being up in the Intermountain area of MacArthur. She lives on the east side of MacArthur, 2 miles on the other side of MacArthur. It's only 75 miles to MacArthur. And it's a beautiful road. I know because I grew up there. I know how to drive that road. And if she's so concerned about it, then step away. If you're so concerned about making the trek all the way to Redding from Fall River Valley, then, you know, step aside.
Right.
Let somebody else take it over.
We do have a caller. Jimmy, how are you? We take questions here, brother. Are you there, Jimmy? Yo, Jimmy.
Hey, guys.
Hey, brother. How you doing? Go ahead.
Long time no talk to.
Yeah, yeah.
Here's another little thing I'd like to shoot out there. Why doesn't the Board of Supervisors have their meetings when us typical 9-to-5ers aren't at work? Like maybe 6 o'clock at night?
Bingo.
Is that too much for you folks? Is that too much for the Board of Supervisors?
Maybe you can call. Oh, wait, you can't call in and ask Leonard Modi that. I just got a text. You can't call in Monday and ask him that. Well, maybe you can ask Carl to ask him that.
I don't want to interrupt the brunch hour. I'm just saying.
Yep.
You unbelievable.
Know, I mean, that's where, you know, most people, they can't afford to go to the Board of Supervisors meetings because they're trying to put food on their table to feed their families.
Absolutely.
Well, Joe Comente ran on that. That was what he ran on, that he was going to have a 6 o'clock meeting. That was one of the things that was a campaign issue for him, and Liz brought that up.
Mm-hmm.
Right. All right, guys. I watched the Red, White, and Blue video with Carlos Zapata. We just watched that today. That was really awesome.
Did you, the last one? Did you watch?
Yeah.
Watch episode 5, because episode 5 talks about the money, and that's a biggie. That is right in your wheelhouse. It's episode 5.
Right, and it was very, very well produced.
Oh, yeah, they're amazing. They're amazing.
Yeah. So anyways, yeah, Board of Supervisors, let's have meetings when most 9-to-5ers can attend
yes.
meetings, folks. All right, guys, love you.
Love you too, brother.
Thanks, Jimmy.
Bye.
Bye.
So I wanted to comment on that. I looked up Stanislaus County, and last year they had 6 evening meetings that were regular meetings. And this year, I see on their calendar, they have 9 6:30 scheduled meetings. So, and they're a bigger county than we are, and
oh,
they're
yeah.
doing it.
Way bigger.
So if they can do it, there's no reason why we can't. And they keep saying, well, we're looking to other counties to see what they're doing, and we want to copy them. Okay, copy this one. But they don't want to.
Well, they ran on it. I mean, Comenti ran on it, you know, and that's the thing. I mean, we have to wake up, and we can't be restricted. And I think one of the things that we have to do is make sure that when we do talk radio, and we do what we're going to do this year and dedicate ourselves to doing in about five different podcasts and at least three radio programs, we are going to dedicate ourselves to some investigative reporting. We're going to allow people to call in. And again, you know, it's such a, you can't just be everything to everybody. You know, I mean, to me, it gets to a point where, you know, how real are you? Anyway, do you have another statement that you wanted to read that we could chit chat about?
I gave it another once they finally got to it.
Okay.
This was on the consent calendar, which was an interesting thing this Tuesday. So this one is, apparently January is Appraiser Appreciation Month because all the county appraisers are going to receive raises. These appraiser positions all received raises 6 months ago in the June budget. Now 6 months later, you want to give them an additional raise? Why? Have you evaluated their performance? How can you substantiate a raise after only 6 months? Especially when certain members of this board claim the county is low on funds and that we need more government aid. When you crunch the numbers, it appears that four positions already received an additional raise since June. According to today's proposal, the appraisal manager, the real property appraiser aide, the senior supervising auditor appraiser, and the senior supervising real property appraiser have current salaries that are higher than the 21-22 budget. Yet there are no records of these positions receiving salary increases in the Board of Supervisors agenda since June. So how were these salaries raised without the board's approval? Another red flag emerges when you compare today's proposed raises to the increase in pay for these positions over the last two budget periods. In today's proposal, the senior supervising auditor appraiser, the senior supervising real property appraiser, and the real property appraisers 1 and 2 will receive an increase after only 6 months. That is higher than the 12-month increase from June 2020 to June 2021. The first two positions will receive more than double the amount of increase. There's another discrepancy concerning the adult custody cook 1 and 2. These positions received an increase in salary on December 14, 2021, but today's proposal lists these current salaries higher than what they were voted on in the last meeting in December.
Wow.
How is that possible? Similarly, salaries for Animal Regulations Officer 1 and 2 were raised on October 19 of last year, and today's proposal says the current salaries are higher than what was voted on in October. This sounds similar to the mystifying increase in salary that was given to the newly created Assistant CEO position a year ago. This board voted on a set salary range in November 2020, but when the position was soliciting applicants the following February, the salary scale was mysteriously raised, without any record of this board voting on the raise. Considering all these things, it looks like either someone doesn't know how to count, or there's something shady going on with the numbers. Spend, 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 indiscriminately and without accountability. This seems to be the modus operandi of many of this board. There is no doubt that this county needs a forensic audit so that we know exactly where our money is going.
Hallelujah. The forensic audit is what we need to have done on every department throughout the entire county. How can a board, new board members, come onto a board and not know what they're actually working with? They didn't even go through the budget this year, line item by line item, before they passed it.
Right.
And they haven't done it for a number of years. According to a former board member that used to do that, they spent multiple days in a row going through that process, you know, on every line item, and they would keep things, they would adjust things, they would eliminate line items all the way through the budget so that they would have a good working tangible budget. And the current board has not done that the entire time that any one of them have been on that board. And that was one of the things that Supervisor Jones was asking for. We need to go through the budget. And they just passed it. And it went 4-1, I believe, when they passed it. So keep that in mind. It went 4-1 to pass it.
We do have a caller on the line. Mary, how are you?
Good morning, State of Jefferson. So I watched or listened, put on my headset yesterday and listened to that Board of Supervisors meeting, the whole thing, 3 hours. And the one thing that I woke up this morning thinking about was when somebody mentioned that Modi took money from Dominion. And he, in his own words, said, well, no, I have a friend that works at Dominion, and he gave me a donation. I'd like to know how many supervisors have friends at Dominion, and what kind of friend are they? Are they the friend that works the programs? Are they the friend that, how high are they at Dominion? Was it a quid pro quo? Okay, Modi, you vote for to keep Dominion, and we'll help you stay in office.
Yeah.
What kind of, but we're not allowed to ask Modi that, are we?
No, no, he's not going to allow questions.
And also, too, he's getting money from them, and then the money he's getting from them also keeps them in contract with the county, so then maybe they're manipulating everything on his behalf when it comes to voting for him. You know, the way the electorate is voting, are they going to massage it so that he wins every time?
How much did he get? Does anybody know?
I don't know off the top of my head.
I think it was a smaller donation. I'm not really sure, but I know that if you call into the next program, Liz is going to be on for the first half hour of the next program. And if you call in, I know Linda Kent probably has that information, and she's one of the co-hosts of the next program.
Terry, that was obscene. It was what he did at that meeting.
Yes, ma'am.
Was obscene.
Yes, ma'am.
King, he acted like a king. Tyranny at the top of our local politics. It is scary. And you've seen it firsthand on that Board of Supervisors meeting. I was so upset. I'm so upset. I kind of been one that sat in the background, but I'm not so sure that's going to happen this year. So it's really, people need to get more engaged. And I really appreciate everything that I listen to you all the time. I really, I just want to tell you, there's people out here that might not be part of your guys' pack, but we are with you, and we really appreciate what you're doing.
Welcome to the team.
Thank you.
Okay?
Thank you, Mary. Call on any time. And also, I did hear you on Freedom in Action, I think, yesterday, didn't I?
I did.
You were amazing, by the way.
Oh.
No, you were. I mean, see, the nice thing is that this is what it's all about. It's people like Liz. I mean, Liz stands up, and, you know, we know what we need to do with Modi. We're going to put a walker on him. So we know.
How can we make sure that Dominion is not going? I also found something interesting. Did you see who they gave that award to yesterday at the meeting?
Yes.
Second in charge of elections.
Yes.
I found that very curious.
Well, because then maybe the first in charge of elections isn't going to rerun. Maybe she's decided to take the golden handshake and just walk away and then just pass the baton to second in charge.
I'm a little bit more cynical than that.
Okay.
Truly, I think there's something more at play with that.
I don't doubt it.
And it's almost like it's them against us. When I watched that Red, White, and Blueprint, they laid it out perfectly about the sheriffs.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened with Modi, how Modi, you know, basically got fired, but yet a new position was created for him.
Oh, that's McGreeny.
The same with McGreeny and so forth down the line.
Oh, that's true.
And
that's right. Yep.
I know for a fact that people that work in the county are getting new positions renamed so they can get more money.
Yep.
It's very, very scary.
We know.
Anyway, Mary,
we feel your pain.
We got another call.
I know you do.
We got another caller on the line. Thank you so much. Awesome. Call in any time. And it's a good thing we have Liz on here for, we're probably going to keep her for an hour in this program. So we're going to keep Liz here. And Mary and Liz are going to be here, so they're going to be able to get everything in. But anyway, we appreciate the callers.
Absolutely.
So thank you, Mary.
Okay, now we're going
to... Robert.
Robert, how you doing, Robert?
What say you, sir?
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you this morning?
Pretty good.
Good. Two quick things. One, the lady that was just talking about Modi, and by the way, let me just say, he needs to be gone. We need to get rid of him, whatever it takes. How is it not a conflict of interest if he's taking money from a company that's supplying the voting machines for the county recall. How is that not a conflict of interest?
Good question.
Well, maybe you can ask that on Monday morning when he's on the radio. Oh, wait.
Oh, I'd love to.
You can't. You can't.
You can't. Son of a gun won't let me
questions. Do it. Oh, okay. Well, anyway, what's your second point, buddy?
Well, my other comment is something that I'm sure everybody has thought about, but I don't see anybody really doing too much about it. What we need to do, my concern is that there's going to be so many people running for the second district supervisor seat to unseat this guy that it's going to happen just like it did last year with Newsom on the state level. The votes are going to get so split that he's going to get just enough to walk away because he's got just enough dirt in his pockets.
That's not the way it works. Wynn's going to explain it to you.
Hey, Robert, the way it works for the recall is that we have to have more than 50% say, yes, we want to recall him. So you vote yes to recall. That's the first part of the ballot.
Gotcha.
So you vote yes to recall.
Then
you go to the next line, to the next list of names, and then you vote for who you want to be in that position. Whoever gets the most votes by one, wins the race.
Seat.
So it's a matter
I guess I misunderstood it then.
So all those people that are running are bringing along those yes votes on recall of Modi.
Right.
So they want they have all their supporters that are wanting to recall Modi first and foremost. Then everybody has an opportunity to vote whoever they want to vote in on that from that list of names. So that's how it works.
That was my misunderstanding. I thought that if we split the vote so far, he's going to get just enough to walk away. Okay, I got it now.
That's a unique thing about a recall in that regard, and that's a beautiful part about the recall. You want to have the candidate or the incumbent recalled, then you get them recalled.
Right.
You vote yes, recall. Everybody's voting yes to recall, and then you go through and you pick and choose who you want. Yeah,
all
that's
right.
How it works.
All right. Well, I appreciate the clarification. That helps. I never was much good in civics in high school, so.
Well, come along with us. We'll get you up to speed. How's that?
Oh, I would absolutely love it. As a veteran, I am disgusted with what he's doing to this county and getting away with it. So I think it's time we make a stand, follow Carlos's lead, and take a stand and take back our county.
Absolutely.
We're the only ones that can.
That's right.
Well, maybe you can make that comment tomorrow morning on the radio program.
Oh wait!
I'm sorry, I forgot. He's not going to have.
Trust me. You don't want me. You don't want me talking to Modi. That would be nothing but bleeps anyway. So, but I appreciate the time and I appreciate the clarification.
All right. Well, thank you, Robert.
Thank you, Robert.
Thanks, guys.
Liz, expound a little bit on that money. That is just such an amazing thing.
Well, one interesting thing is in the very last meeting of December, they raised one of these salaries, and then in the very next meeting in January, they're now cutting that position and giving it over to something else. So they raise a salary for one or two positions, and then they get rid of those two and create a third position.
Interesting.
Holy mackerel.
Well,
did that cost the taxpayers any money?
Well, and then also, too, when you're talking about, you know, all the increases on these salaries, then they also have to take into effect into account your anniversary date, because when you're a county employee, your hire date is your anniversary date, or 6 months away from that. It could be 18 months would be your anniversary date, and that cycles every single year. So some of those employees could be getting three raises in 1 year.
Unbelievable.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. And it's not based on performance.
Well, I know I worked in the assessor's office for a number of years. I was an appraiser for a number of years in the assessor's office. So, yes, it is based on your performance. Yeah. And your supervisor has to do your performance appraisal, and then it's passed on to the deputy and to the assessor for their signature and whatever, and then you get your whatever percentage, your COLA or whatever percentage they end up seeing as doable to bump it up. Yeah. But you have your anniversary date, but then if you're talking about those other dates that are coming into play, how many of those appraisers or those other staff, appraisal staff, are having maybe three bumps in 1 year in a very short window?
Yeah.
You know, that's crazy.
Yep.
Yeah. Wow. Just makes you think.
It does. You know, and when you stop and when you do think about it, we were, about $300 million for the county 10 years ago? And now we're almost $600 million, so we've doubled in 10 years.
But the
population
hasn't.
10,000 people more.
Yeah, so how does that work?
How'd that work? You know, and a lot of that's going to raises. And that was something else that Modi raised that I thought, we can't ask that question. But anyway, the thing that Modi had said is that we need that $34 million that has strings attached, and maybe you can carry that into the next program too, that part. The $34 million that we're supposed to get from the state, that we desperately need that money, yet during the same time they give raises to everybody.
And they never talk about the unfunded liability.
Yeah, they never talk about that.
Never talk about that. The unfunded liability, the retirements, and the cost of that in the future. We're at this point, information has it that we're at least $1 billion with a B, $1 billion overdrafted in the hole, whatever you want to call it. We're in a world of hurt with that. That's huge. That's
crazy.
Huge. And when you think of $1 billion spread around 180,000 people in the county, every man, woman, and child, that's a boatload of money.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, what's a billion? 1,000 million?
Yeah.
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 I think it's a gob.
More than all.
We'll just call it a gob.
It's a gob.
We have about 4 minutes left, so ladies, if you have something you want to close this program out with.
Can
it's
I
your
just
party.
Compare last year's
yes.
first meeting with this year's first meeting?
Yes. Yes.
So last year, 2021, in January, the first item on the agenda was to elect a new chair. This year, that was not the case. This year, the first item was Employee of the Month for December, which happened to be someone in the Elections Department.
Wow.
So that, I don't know why that wasn't done in December, maybe to take up more time as an excuse for we don't have enough time for public comment.
Yep.
And then the second item was to elect a chair. The first speaker for public comment I thought was interesting. It was the auditor controller. And I'm thinking, why is she speaking for public comment? She should be addressing the board as her own agenda item.
You think?
Yeah. And basically it was, well, we just got this reward saying that basically we're trustworthy, and we just wanted to share that with all of you.
Mm-hmm.
So no need to question us. And Mary talked about it. I think this was really good that the public was able to hear this.
Sure you do. That's going to stop us from questioning everything just because that is said wrong.
Yeah, and another difference between the 2 years was last year they had Employee of the Month for January, but it was part of the consent calendar. This year, Employee of the Month for December was a regular item.
Mm-hmm.
So why did that switch? Because they could give it more time, more emphasis? The only thing consistent about the Board of Supervisors is it's inconsistent. You know, they're constantly changing everything.
That's right.
I just thought that was interesting.
You're absolutely right.
You know, those might be good things to bring up. There are people that listen to Sovereign Minds that don't hear our program, you know. And, again, you can hear this program on KCNR1460.com. You can stream it, and you can go back and listen to the archives. And I would suggest anybody that listens today, share this program. Share it with your friends. By the way, if you want to listen to any of these programs, you can search engine Jefferson State of Mind, M-I-N-E. You can find us on Facebook. You can find us on YouTube. And soon, we will have a mothership. We will have a mothership.
It's in the works.
It will entail a boatload of programs.
Yep.
But anyway, Liz, Miriam, thank you. You guys were amazing, and this has been Jefferson State of Mind, Sovereign Minds, Liberty Unabashed, Poke the Hornet's Nest. All those programs will let you ask questions.
Yep.
Just want to leave you with that, because it's about liberty. You know, I mean, really and truly, I don't know. Good guys against the bad guys. Is it a good guy when it's convenient to be a good guy and a bad guy when it's convenient to be a bad guy? I don't know. But the point is
we have to do what's right every time.
Right. Yeah,
whether people are watching or not,
on.
You do what's right.
Get a grip out there. Not you folks. Time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
Amen.
It's not our bill. We had no say. You don't serve us. You serve LA. The time has come. 51 in a Jefferson state of mind. You don't know us.
face. It's time to start a brand new state.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.